Radio. Listening to Fred Malone and James Anderson, two of my favorite people that know everything about Southeastern Ohio. And all three of us are from that area for a while. And while you were away, they started talking about morels, mushrooms, and ginseng.
And chestnuts.
Those are huge cash crops now, right? Is that correct?
Or at least with the chestnuts were at one time, but because of the blight that went through, I mean, that killed a lot of the economy down there. Because, you know, as Fred was mentioning earlier, you know, not a lot of agricultural practices down there, and, you know, land was cheap, so, I mean, you had to use the land what was available.
Well, now you were saying that people actually, not only that, crop, but people brought garbage bags full of mushrooms out of that area.
Oh yeah.
Why do they grow so much down there?
It's just the micro habitat. It's just since Southeast Ohio is mainly thick of trees, it stays a little bit more humid. You know, that's where a lot of funguses like to thrive.
Sure.
And of course, the soil conditions are a little bit more, I guess you could say, more fertile down there than it is up in this area, since mainly this area is primarily either developed or agricultural. You know, morels are not going to thrive in those kinds of areas. And also, too, since we're really open and very sunny, morels are not really fond of that. They do like some sun, but they do like kind of moist soils.
Is that the same reason why ginseng grows down in that area?
Yeah, it's just the microhabitat, and they like the south side of a slope. That's just something about that. That kind of environment that they thrive on.
Fred knows more about ginseng than I think he should.
For people that are listening, may not know about ginseng. Tell them a little bit about what ginseng is.
Yeah, so
because you're not going to find it around here.
I didn't know it had little berries on it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And you need to know what it looks like if you're going to.
Yeah.
Because you can be deceived by other plants.
Yes. So ginseng is one of the plants you can harvest, and I was telling Glenn off air that it is actually very regulated now. Mm-hmm. You do have to have a permit. And then I know if you do harvest it, you do have to at least give a location where you harvest, because they don't want this plant to become extinct in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
But basically what it is the roots have a lot of medicinal purposes. At least that's what a lot of the foreigners think, especially a lot of the Chinese, the Indonesian cultural. They just think that it can enhance life. It can help with respiratory issues.
ED.
Yeah, ED. So, yeah, ED.
I cleaned it up. I had to think what that was.
Yeah, that's a very good
for Fred.
That was clever.
Yes. So what it is the foragers are going out. They're selling it to little buyers, and the little buyers are selling it to bigger buyers, and then eventually they're selling it to the foreign people. And there is actually a show. I want to say it's on either Discovery or History Channel. I forget what the title's called, but it's about these crazy rednecks, and they call it Sang.
Sang. That was going to be my next thing. If you're from Southern Ohio, everyone down there, you call it Sang.
Sang.
And stay out of my Sang.
Oh, and yes, and when we were kind of talking about morels and Sang, you do not tell where your spot is. You take that to your grave.
What are those little mushrooms, the little black ones that the dogs dig up?
Dog peckers?
Dog peckers?
No.
Well, dog peckers, they're a morel.
French. Truffles.
Truffles.
Those are secret places, too.
Yeah, no Sang hunter or no mushroom hunter is going to let you know where they find their stuff. And I've got spots up in Wyandotte County where I've found a lot of good mushrooms I ain't telling about. And Seneca County, too.
Yeah, and there's some spots in Marion where I know where to get some morels. Yeah.
Are there more mushrooms in southeastern Ohio?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, biodiversity when it comes to funguses, plants, animals. Southeastern Ohio just has more biodiversity than here in Central Ohio, because, as we mentioned earlier, because of that thick forest habitat, and we're primarily developed agricultural, you know, there's just going to be more things down there.
Well, I'd love to know how to pick mushrooms, because I like mushrooms a lot.
You don't want to pull the root out.
Well, I'm scared to death to pick any mushroom.
Break it off at the ground. At least that's what I was always taught and what I always did.
If you can't pick
it. I always carry like a little pocket knife.
Is that right?
Yeah, kind of right there at ground level.
You don't want to get the root, huh?
No.
That's
not if you
want to
go back next year and find some more.
There's not enough.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's not enough research to back up, but yeah, I have heard some people saying that yeah, you do want to leave a small portion of it. The roots are also what's called the mycelia,
yeah,
and that's what helps them spread.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, but if it isn't grown in Kroger's or Walmart, I'm not going to.
Well, Glenn, I would be more, I wouldn't say this to just anybody, but if you want to go sometime in the spring, I only hunt in the spring. I don't do fall mushrooms. There's so many mushrooms out there that I'm afraid.
Yes, there's a lot of lookalikes.
Yes, there are, and so I only hunt what I know.
Yeah.
But if you're interested sometime in the spring, I'd take you.
Well, that'd be fun.
But to get back what your question to him was a minute ago about the difference between Southern Ohio and up here.
Yeah.
In Southern Ohio, on properties that I would hunt down there, it was nothing for me to go out in a couple of hours to have a couple of big grocery sacks full.
That's amazing.
But up here, a good day for me, like if I were hunting up in Wyandotte County where I used to live, or Seneca County where I frequented, if I could get one of those plastic bags you get at Kroger's.
Yeah.
If I could get one of those
gallon bag or something,
I'd be happy.
Oh, my.
I was happy.
Well, so. Now... What do you do with it if you get those garbage bags full of mushrooms? What do you do with them? Don't they go bad?
Nope. Take them home, clean them, soak them overnight in salt water, get all the little bugs and all that stuff out.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Slice them, put them in freezer bags and freeze them.
Oh, okay.
And they'll stay good.
And then, yep, you can fry them.
Oh, yeah. Yes, oh, that's delicious. The best way. Fry them in butter, put a little onion in there.
Oh,
yeah.
I love fried mushrooms.
Yeah. Oh, my.
But my fried mushrooms are just button mushrooms that I got from.
Listen, I tell you what, this is no lie. I will not eat store-bought mushrooms because...
That's a different taste, isn't it?
The taste, once you have eaten wild mushrooms that you pick yourself, you'll never, ever eat another mushroom. From the store.
I just had Brussels sprouts from my garden the other day.
Same way, Brussels sprouts.
And they are so much better. Yep. Yeah, yep. They're so sweet.
But true mushroom hunters will tell you they won't eat store-bought mushrooms.
Well, they're snots.
No, they're not. They're taste connoisseurs.
Okay.
Because there's a big difference in taste. Yeah. Big difference.
Well, James,
and so you've got grays, you've got yellows.
You
got blacks, and then you got what comes first is usually the little dog pecker.
Yeah.
The one that's like a stem with a small head on it.
Okay.
Those are, by real shroom hunters, those are dog peckers.
Well, now, I have found that you can buy a little log that's been inoculated, and you can do that in your basement.
Yeah.
That's about as much as I'm going to go wild on.
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be you see ads in magazines, start your own mushroom in your basement, you know.
Yes, I've seen that.
But I guarantee you're not going to get the taste of what you're going to get if you pull it out of the ground yourself.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably true.
No way.
Well, James is going to have to leave here in a few minutes, so I want to open it up. Is there something that you want to talk about southeastern Ohio that we haven't hit?
Sure. Some of the animals.
We
got bobcats and black bears.
Yeah.
So
not many black bears, though.
Not as many, but black bears are primarily found in northeastern Ohio because they're crossing from Pennsylvania. But the other set are coming from West Virginia. Same with bobcats. So by the 1850s, bobcats were kicked out of the state of Ohio because we were wanting them not near our farms, our families, and since they were a type of predator.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't have bobcats for a very, very long time. And they believe it wasn't until about the 50s or 60s they kind of started coming back, at least, us noticing them. And then they actually were our first state, or our first animal in the state of Ohio to be put on the Ohio Endangered Species List in 1979.
And but now they're coming back, you said.
Well, actually, in 2015, they were just taken off of the endangered and threatened list.
Oh, my.
So we can't legally harvest them yet, but I think in the near future, we probably will, and primarily in southeastern Ohio, because they're very abundant.
They're beautiful pelt.
Oh, it's a beautiful pelt.
The Noble County is where most of them are. They think an estimate there's at least over 400 bobcats
in Noble County.
In Noble County.
Okay,
so
tell our listeners where Noble County is.
See, that's...
Southeast.
Yeah,
it's more towards, it's closer to the West Virginia border.
That's right. That's
over by Vinton County?
No, the other side of the state.
Oh, the other side.
What's the county seat?
I can't think either.
shoot. Randy Winland's from Noble County.
Okay.
I'll think of it later on today. But, yeah, it's It's a pretty rural county.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just pretty hilly over there too.
Well, I've told the story to both of you about seeing that black bear down there when I was driving down 33 and thinking it was a very woolly cow until it turned around. But there aren't very many of those, and I guess they learned how to swim or something to get across the Ohio River.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
On the other side of Ohio and southwestern Ohio, elks are slowly coming back.
Really?
Yes. Elk? Yeah, because they're crossing from Kentucky. In 2009, there was just a very small pocket of them, I think about 10 or less, and they were right there around the Cincinnati region.
Yeah. So. Now, you don't hunt anymore, right?
No, I quit hunting several years ago. Yeah. I used to. Used to coon hunt on our property down there, too. We did that quite a bit. We had a couple beagles and...
Now, you
did you ever go to the Coonskin Library?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Where is that? Tell us about that.
I forget which town is that in.
Oh, geez, I don't remember. So there was remember, you're talking to a couple 70-year-olds. My memory.
So there was a town there in southeastern Ohio that they wanted to be educated, and they wanted a library. Well, being economically depressed, you know, there wasn't a lot of things to raise money, so a lot of the local people went out hunting and trapping, and they sold so many, you know, pelts, and they were able to form a small library, and it's actually currently there right now.
Huh, I'll be darned. So. Well, now, hold that bobcat pelt up. Now, where's the head? Oh, there it is. It's very pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That is not the bobcat that I had on my shoulder one time. Didn't look like that. He's
all flat.
That's right. Maybe that's the problem. He's flat. Oh, but beautiful pelt.
What? Yes. What's the average weight?
About 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit larger.
Well, not a large dog.
I've had a couple of cats that came pretty close to that.
Is that right?
Yeah, I had one that was like 25 pounds.
So. Yikes!
In fact, if you see them in the wild, you oftentimes think they're a large house cat.
Yeah.
Now, if there is a bobcat in your neighborhood, would they attack your domestic animals?
They could, especially if you got chickens, ducks, you know, poultry. Yeah. Sure. They have been known to, yes, attack small livestock.
They probably eat rattlesnake then, too, because rattlesnake tastes like chicken.
They do. Actually, I have seen some pictures on social media.
Boy, that's a stretch.
And especially like Arizona region, bobcats eating timber rattlesnakes.
Is that right? Well, they're down there. Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask James was... And now we're going to be right along the Ohio River.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about the Silver Bridge?
Silver Bridge.
And the Mothman.
I know about that. Yeah. Yes, old Mothman.
Is the Silver Bridge the one that goes across
the river?
Yeah,
the one that collapsed, yeah. Right.
Mothman sighting, then, a few hours later, then the bridge went down.
Supposedly, he was spotted on the top cross piece of the bridge before it fell in. And I must say, the next day after that bridge fell, that was in December or something, right close to Christmas, a group of my buddies from the football team, we drove down there to see the bridge.
Huh.
Yeah, the morning after it fell, or that day after it fell.
Now, we used to play, and I can't remember the high school that's right down there, not too far from that bridge, or where the bridge was. We used to play them in soccer and basketball, and as we went by, we always looked for the Mothman, but I hate to tell you, I never saw it.
Well, they have a big festival down there called
the Mothman
Festival.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
Parkersburg, West Virginia. Yeah, they have a big statue right in the middle of their town. It's the weirdest looking.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In Parkersburg?
Yeah, Parkersburg, West Virginia.
I'll be darned. Yeah, well, each to their own, I guess.
Yeah, well, see, at that time we were in the Southeastern Ohio Athletic League, SEOAL.
Yeah.
So we played all those schools down there, Gallipolis, Pomeroy.
Yeah, you were also Athens.
Right, absolutely, we played all those schools down there. The high school played all those schools down there. So traveled that area quite a bit. And we had a game warden from Hocking County, and his name, again, I don't remember. He'd been a game warden there forever. But he had a property down in Gallia County that we used to go hunt on his property down there. So, I've tramped around that whole area. Right. One town we didn't mention, Haydenville.
Oh, Haydenville.
You ever drive through Haydenville?
Yes, yep. We did a lot of labs around there.
Still had some of the kilns still there. And yeah. you got to see what the factory houses looked like. You know, the people that had worked in the kilns or worked in the mines and lived in factory-owned homes. And that was a whole different culture. You know,
did you ever get an opportunity to go through the brick factory in Logan?
No.
It's world famous. I mean,
I know Nelsonville had a little brick.
I had one at the diamond. Nelsonville. Yeah.
They still have a tower still left from there.
There's a park up in Mackinac City, in Michigan, that overlooks, you know, it has, you can look at the bridge and you can look at Mackinac.
Is that the one that has the replica of the Indian place where the Indians would have lived too? Because I've been to that park before. I think
it might.
Yeah, but it sounds like the same park you're talking about.
The base of the park. I looked down when we were there, and it said Nelsonville, Ohio. That's where the bricks were from.
I have a Nelsonville brick on my deck.
Really?
I have a Nelsonville brick, and I have a Portsmouth brick. A friend of mine was down at the flood wall this past summer, mm-hmm. and he was mudlarking.
That's a place
along the Ohio,
need to go.
Mudlarking, you know what that is.
Is that where you go for
walk
the...
Walk along the river or in the river and hunt things, you know.
Like things, turtles?
No. Oh. Things that might have been cast off.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, he found a Portsmouth brick and brought it home to me because I originally I was born in Portsmouth.
Oh, really?
They at the Diamond, are you familiar with what they call the Diamond? Yeah. If you're on 33 going south to Nelsonville... you probably wouldn't go. Well, you wouldn't go through the Diamond now because they got the bypass. But on old Route 33, before you got into Nelsonville, there's a little town there called the Diamond. There was a lock there on the old canal.
Okay, I know. I think I know you're talking about.
There was
about.
A brick plant there, and they made bricks. They called Diamond bricks. Uh-huh. That's because of the Diamond.
Right.
So there were bricks made there. Logan also had a big brick plant out on the east side of town. If you're going out, like if you're going over into Perry County.
Lots of
brick
clay
plant there. A lot of clay in that area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we had Logan clay, which is right off of Route 33. If you come off of 33 on 93, coming into Logan, Logan clay products is still there. They made vitrified clay pipe for sewers and things like that.
Vitrified, what is that?
Clay pipe, right? So a lot of people used it. French drains. Made French drains. That was drainage that you put on your farm before they started using plastic drains.
Okay.
In French drains, people put French drains around their house to keep the water away from the house and foundation. They made that stuff too.
Now
that was the Barton Hall family that owned that.
I was told that Canal Street, which is that old 33 through Nelsonville, is basically where the canal was, and if you dig down under Canal Street, it's hollow because they didn't fill it all the way in.
I can't swear to that, but I don't doubt that it might not be true.
And there was a problem because the big trucks would go through town and shake everything because it was they were on a drum.
Well, yeah. See, if you're on the old two-lane part of 33, where the Diamond was. That's where there was a lock right there. In fact, it was still being maintained by the state. There was a picnic table there you could pull off and have your lunch or whatever. And the lock was never torn down or filled in. So that lock basically ran right along 33 and or the river because they needed to get the water from the river to fill the canal.
Sure.
So it's quite possible that what they refer to as Canal Street, old Route 33, could be that the canal was
now
there.
The Diamond plant is just out of town, north of town. Is that not
right?
Correct?
That's the Diamond. That's what I'm talking about. Right.
That's a neat old place.
And there used to be one really, really hot nightclub right on that street.
He knows way more than he should know.
He knows where all the good spots were.
Well, we used to run around Hocking County on some of those up and down roads, 664, 93, all those popular roads, and then we would hit places like Blackjack and Big Pine and Coon Path, and all the Coon Path actually up in Fairfield County, but we had some pretty good names down there, some of our roads. But we would ride around as kids in my 55 Chevy, lighting cherry bombs and throwing them out the window of the car.
Oh, nice guys.
Until one of my buddies in the back seat forgot to roll the window down and tossed one. It bounced out the window and landed on the floor. You want to see five guys move fast?
That would be kind of scary, yeah. Now, we got to get James out of here. It's 11:36, and I think you wanted to be out of here by 11:40. So is there any last thing you want to say before you head on out and take our Bobcat with you?
I guess while we're talking about, if you ever get a chance, got some extra time, make a trip to Southeastern Ohio.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of great history. I know Fred's mentioned it's got a lot of great biodiversity, and it's got a lot of great parks and natural preserves. So we're very fortunate to have it, and we're not terribly far, from it.
Head to Burr Oak. No. Nobody ever goes to Burr Oak.
We stayed at Burr Oak a couple of years ago. My wife and I took a couple of friends of ours down and stayed at Burr Oak. The only thing with Burr Oak is, get what you need before you go out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a haul to get out of there.
It's not close to anything.
Yeah, it's about 15 miles out.
This summer, I'm going to take that same couple, a couple of retired school teachers. We're going to go out. I'm going to take them to Lake Hope.
Okay.
We're going to rent a cabin at Lake Hope.
And
the other place people forget to talk about is Zaleski Forest.
Oh, yeah.
That's another great place.
A lot of timber rattlesnakes.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. I'm not going there.
And copper.
You know how much I love snakes.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Well, thank you, James.
Yes.
We're going to let you get out of here.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, same to you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I hope your family's well.
Take care of the bobcat. And be good.
It's been fun.
On the 30th.
All right, yeah, 30th. He's going to be back on the 30th.
Actually, there's 5 Thursdays this week.
Yeah, that's right. He's going way beyond the call of duty by coming back on the 30th.
I appreciate him coming in today. This has been fun because it's nice when you can kind of chit-chat about things that you have a connection with.
Yeah.
Especially, again, Southeastern Ohio, all of Ohio is great. I'm not downgrading any portion of the state of Ohio. It's all great. Yeah. And there's a lot of history in all four corners in the central part of the state. But there's something special about the hills of Southeastern Ohio.
Yeah, there is.
You just can't replicate anyplace else. And if you go down and stay at Shawnee State Forest, which is just outside of Portsmouth, and go out, stay in their lodge, or even one of their cabins, but stay in the lodge and go out and sit on the balcony outside of the lodge about dusk, and you start seeing the smoke rising from the lake, it's as close as you're going to be to the Smoky Mountains.
Huh.
It's called the Little Smokies of Ohio.
Huh. I didn't know that.
But it's absolutely beautiful.
Now, I love it down there, but maybe this is just in my head, and I should have asked James this because he's the naturalist. I remember many a time when we would come to Columbus and we'd get hot and sweaty in the middle of July, and as we hit the hills and the forest, it cooled off by 5, 10 degrees.
It is, yeah. It would oftentimes be 10 degrees cooler. If you were in downtown Logan, for instance, and drove out to Laurelville, you would find at least a 5 to 10 degree difference in the temperature. Unless you're standing out in the blazing sun, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you go out in the woods, you're going to find a big difference.
And, Ohio University is kind of a fun place to visit.
It is.
Court Street, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
And if you go on Halloween, it's more than fun.
Yeah. Court and State Street, both. Two great parts. And, of course, anywhere along the Hocking River down through that area is beautiful scenery. And, of course, we really didn't talk too much about some of the counties along the Ohio River, Lawrence County, Gallia County, Meigs County, Scioto County, all of that area a little bit further south. See, if you went from Logan down to, you got about another hour to get down to the Ohio River. I personally, I like the Marietta area. I think that's a beautiful area. There's a tremendous amount of history there.
Festival that they have for the Sternwheelers.
Tall Stacks. The Tall Stacks Festival. Beautiful.
Yeah.
We took some friends down there. I think it's been about 3 years ago now. Stayed at the Lafayette Hotel, which is right downtown, right on the river. Actually,
ancient hotel.
It is. Yeah. It's been there, probably one of the first buildings.
Over 100.
Yeah, one of the first buildings built, I would say, maybe 1840, 50, something like that. But with the hotel, if you have a room that faces the back of the hotel, you can see where the Muskingum River dumps into the Ohio River.
Yeah.
That's where the Muskingum and the Ohio meet. And interestingly enough, the Ohio River, especially through that area, the deepest part of that river is only about 15 feet deep.
Is that right?
That's a pretty shallow river.
That is, I
guess. They have to do dredging there just to keep the channel open for the barges to go through.
Because and there are a lot of barges.
And it used to flood quite a bit.
Yes,
it used
did.
To flood quite a bit. Oh. But if you read any of Alan Eckert's history, who Alan Eckert wrote a lot about Southern Ohio and the founding of the Northwest Territory and this whole part, the whole part of the state of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. People could actually wade across the Ohio River in places.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was. It's very, very shallow.
I would
river
think
for the most
that
part,
the current would drag them under, though.
Well, but
it's
you
pretty
see,
wide.
It's bringing a lot of silt down in the north. So there's a lot of silt that's collecting. One place I have never been, and we were on a bus trip last week down in the Kentucky and Indiana area, and I got to thinking about this then, and I mentioned to my friends, one place I want to go before I depart this earth is the Falls of the Ohio.
I've never heard of that.
I think if I'm not mistaken, it's in Indiana, but it's where the Ohio River ends up emptying into the Ohio River, or where the Ohio River ends up emptying into the Mississippi River.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have to be over.
It's called the Falls of Ohio. It's not a huge falls, but they meander, and there are a lot of them, and it's very, very wide. Alan Eckert talks about it a lot in his book, in one of his books. I can't remember the title. I've read so many of them, where this would have been about the time of the Seven Years' War, the French and Indians War, where they were starting to move into the Indiana Territory more. So,
well, you talked about it flooding down there. I can remember going. My son played baseball for Marietta College, which is
beautiful college, beautiful campus,
nice college, and their main course of study is in petroleum.
Oh, I can believe that, sure.
But I remember when the baseball diamond, which was probably the best of a Division III baseball diamonds, it was beautiful diamond, is a beautiful diamond. I can remember water standing on it because it was flooding.
I can't remember the street. It's not the street that runs right along the river, but it's the street that the Lafayette is on.
Yeah, I know where you're talking. I don't know the name of the street.
I want to say it's Front Street, but that might not be right. But anyway, about a block up from the river, maybe two blocks up from the river, on some of the buildings, they have high water marks where the flood.
I've
like
seen that.
1913 flood hit, which was one of the worst.
Yeah.
And then the 1937 flood. And then just not more than, a couple of years ago, they had another flood that flooded the downtown.
Yes, they did.
And the marks for that are on there. And they're well above the front door of those buildings.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, and it's kind of scary when the water comes up that high.
It is kind of scary when that water comes up that high. So when we were down there a few years ago, they have a like a little shuttle tour that takes you all around Marietta proper and talks about the history of Marietta and the founding of Marietta. And very, very well worth the time if you want to even do a day trip. It's not that, a three-hour drive or something like that. Makes a great day trip. But take that little trolley tour around town and see all that. But there are burial mounds within the confines of the city of Marietta.
Really?
Yes, there's a huge burial mound that's right in the middle of where they ended up putting their city cemetery. That's where Rufus Putnam and people like that are buried.
I'll be darned.
But that area was all settled by the Indians prior to the whites, of course, getting there. But there's two or three other mounds that are inside the city that you can take a tour of,
I'm going to put in a plug for Marietta Pioneer Baseball because Marietta Baseball has been one of the best Division III programs in the nation.
And they fostered some major league players.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, I can't remember them, but matter of fact, my son played with a young man who was from this area. His family's from this area, and I can't remember his name either, who played for the Yankees for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And Andrew was recruited by the Reds, and not recruited. He was offered the opportunity to try out for the Reds. So there have been some major baseball players. If you want to see, and they're still very good, even though they lost their great coach, Coach Sholley.
Yes.
He was a phenomenal coach.
Yes.
And if you ever wanted to have your kid learn baseball, Coach Sholley was the best. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say my son was drafted by the Royals.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he play for Marietta?
Never played. No, no.
Okay.
He played for junior college and then played for Heidelberg. But
He played for Heidelberg. Okay.
Yeah. But
they have a fine,
a real good friend of mine from Sycamore. His son is the football coach at Marietta now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, we never got to see. Andrew went to Marietta. He was offered other scholarships. I'm not going to go into this, but a girl talked him into going to Marietta as opposed to going to a Division One school. But we went down there, and they were going. Andrew was a very fine, very fast runner, and had kicked football for high school. He could kick about 50-yard field goal, and we took him down there, and he was going to play both sports, and he found out that
that's
is not
a little bit
happen.
Too tough,
yeah.
Difficult to do. Right?
We have a phone caller. Let's go see what the phone caller has to say. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Glenn, I heard Urban Meyer got let go.
Yes, he did get let go.
Yeah. You know the reason why he got let go?
They didn't like him. I have no idea. Do you know, Fred, why he got let go?
I guess the owner or whoever made a statement this morning that said they just, with the season that they'd had, that there just was some incompatibility and things weren't working out. So.
Well, he's had a lot of interesting rumors around him, so maybe some of those rumors caught up.
Have you heard anything?
No.
That was just what I heard this morning on the news. It was just a little blip about it. Of course, I think the people in Columbus aren't going to talk a whole lot about it.
Well, you ain't going to hire a coach and have him come in and win the Super Bowl first year. But
No, that's true.
No.
But he didn't get close.
Yeah, I think the icing on the cake was last week. They
when they lost?
Yeah, 20-0 or whatever it was. So I don't know. And I don't think that incident in Columbus helped any either. So, but you know what? That's professional football. You did. This guy don't need a reason if they don't like you for some reason.
That's
if you
right.
Don't win enough games.
That's
goodbye.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Look at Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland's finally doing something.
They finally are.
Yeah.
I've been waiting since 1964 for them to get into another championship. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I don't think they got enough going on for them.
You know, they're not a dominant team, but they're competing.
Exactly. Yeah. Right, which we haven't seen for a long time.
For a long time.
I like Stefanski. I think he's a good coach.
Well, yeah. There are two reasons why my wife and I enjoyed moving over here several years ago. Number one, Cleveland was really bad when we moved here. I mean, the baseball team. And we were Cubs fan, and the Cubs were really bad, and also the Bears weren't so good either,
yeah.
and the Browns were pretty bad when we moved here, so we felt right at home.
And the Bengals aren't doing too bad either.
No, they're not. And talking about Southeastern Ohio, Joe Burrow, of course,
yes,
from
Joe
the
Burrow.
Plains, you know, so.
He played for Athens High School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So,
okay, I just wanted to see if you.
We don't know.
That's all we know. That's, and probably you're not going to really know unless it's a scuttlebutt come from ESPN.
Eventually, yeah.
Because the guy that owns a team, he just was very cursed in the statement he made this morning and didn't really elaborate.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times they fire a person like that and they give them all the money and everything, you know, the contract was worth. And sometimes I don't know how they can buy people out like that.
I know.
Well, they got plenty of money.
I guess the old saying is they got more money than God.
And more money than sense sometimes.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah, that was quite a shock this morning. But
really didn't surprise me any. You just can't go. You just can't lose that many games. Freddie Kitchen, you know, when he was doing the Browns couple of years ago before they hired Stefanski, I thought every time we'd lose a game and it just kept getting worse and worse, I was thinking, how long are they going to keep Freddie around?
Yeah.
Nice guy, the team likes him, the players like him, the fans like him, but he can't win a game. You know, you can't keep fans in the seats if you don't win some games. Now, I mean, Browns fans are diehard
yeah,
fans.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I've been one my whole life. You know, I've been waiting since they won the championship in 64 for them to win again or even get a chance to win.
Well, we got another caller. I think we knocked down a bee's nest. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning. I talked to you last time you was on together, and I thought maybe I better chime in here.
Okay, is this Ted?
I'm in favor of Meigs County. The only reason I'm in favor of Meigs County, all the rest of the counties, like you mentioned on your program, that every place in the state of Ohio's got. That's one thing they say Ohio can kind of produce anything in the United States of America.
That's true.
But anyhow, getting back to the subject, famous places. I think Fred mentioned it. Didn't you mention, Fred, the Coonskin Library?
Yeah, and I couldn't remember the town.
Well, that's just a little bit past, just a little stone's throw, or as a crow flies when we start talking lingo down in that part of the country, of Amesville.
Amesville. Oh, okay. 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 I could not remember. Yep. Yep.
We traveled 25, and we saw the Born edition of 33. And when we went to Lancaster, which was one of the big towns going south,
sure.
There,
yeah.
There was the only place that was open 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock or midnight, because I worked, and we got off work and we headed down there to the cabin, and was Jolly Rogers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the only place we got a cup of coffee and a donut.
It might still be open.
And we saw the progress, whatever you want to call it. I like the kid, Scott. He's a good man.
Yeah.
Anyhow, talking about the river, Fred mentioned it, and you don't know nothing about the river unless I was fortunate enough to know people that was captains on the river. And I talked to them for 20, we had the place down there 25 years, I'm proud of saying that. The people are really, really nice people. You got to know them. You can't take the bad part, and I want to give the good part, because you always hear all the Hilligans and this and that.
Oh,
and
I know.
They're very
That's upsetting.
How's that?
I said, that's upsetting, those people from down there.
Well,
being
I'll
called
tell
that,
you,
yeah.
There's a lot of wealthy people down around there and everything that nobody knows about, because they don't brag and they don't.
That's right.
They don't lean on the shoulders of famous people or names. But we had a really good time in the 25 years. But getting back to the river, it's like anything else. The progress of the tonnage that they're pushing the barges with coal.
Yeah.
When they make the turns in the Ohio River. And right down there where I mentioned to you before, the Little Buddha, Italy, that's just my own name. That isn't no history name. That's just my name, and it looks like the Buddha, Italy.
It does. Yep.
It's just the Little Buddha, Italy, and our place is right in the shoestrings. But anyhow, the captains would come to our place every time we was in. We had many people stop, and they never seen such an immaculate little place back in the holler that we had the cabin. I loved it. And I never had signs up, stay out, keep out. And we got acquainted with those kind of people. And they're wonderful, wonderful people. But back to the Ohio River, the tonnage on those barges that they're shoving, when they come into the turns, the thrust off of those engines, the props, pushing those, they erode those high banks. And the trees fall in.
Right.
And the trees fall in. And that's where... Fred mentioned silt, but it's really the erosion, and it's about the same definition if we don't get into that kind of stuff. But it's just the falling of the earth into the Ohio River, making it. It was a nice deep river and stuff, but the progress of transportation of the coal and stuff up and down the Ohio River was the thrust of those engines washed away in those curves, and that's what silted it in to the bottom. And, it was a lot narrower river and a lot wider river. When you go back in history, we can't do that, but we know there was a lot of Indian traffic on the Ohio River.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
The thing I like to hear about is when you talk about main roads, well, when you get a state route, well, that isn't too interesting in me. It's back where the people live down there can tell you, go up there to Tar Holler, and go on down there to Ravenswood, and back over there to here, and they start naming those little roads back there with one-way roads and stone yet today, and you don't find a lot of places up around Marion you can go on a stone road.
No, that's for sure. Yeah.
And that's the beautiful part of southern Ohio.
It is, yes.
I just thought I'd put my bid in there, but Amesville, getting back to Amesville, well, Carol and I stopped there for lunch, and talking about high water marks, we sat in there, and as you go down around in southern Ohio and stuff, and some of the old restaurants are still around, you look up to the ceiling, and you can see the tin ceiling.
Sure. It's yeah.
Really beautiful. Well, at Amesville, you can go in there, and it was, of course, everything changes. They can be in different management. They may not even be there. The state took over our land in 2001, but can't believe it's been 21 years ago. But anyhow, in Amesville, they had a brand new cement ramp for wheelchair. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious, Carol. I said, he even got a wheelchair ramp. And they had it roped off. And I went up the door and knocked, and I said, say, my wife's in a wheelchair. I said, would I be able to go up there? Is that set up enough for... He said, it sure is. About a 40-year-old man, and a very, very kind person. He said, you know what? This is the first time, and probably first time in the history ever having a wheelchair ramp, and your wife is the first wife to ever go up the ramp.
Wow.
I said, hey, how about me getting a picture of this, and then the next time we're going down to the cabin, I'll swing by here and have lunch, which I really like in this place, and give you the picture. He said, you do that, and we'll put it right up on the top shelf.
Very good.
So if you're ever down around Amesville and you go in that restaurant there, it's the only restaurant there, and they got high water marks all about around 3 foot from the top of that ceiling, and if it was high water and we could be holding our breath long enough.
There you would.
Why, it'd be about 7 foot or 8 foot of water on top of our heads.
Well, hey, I'm going to have to let you go because we're running out of time. But, thanks for calling in.
My time is a pretty important time, Fred. Fred, and I know your tricks, and Charlie, you follow Protege after Scott, you know. But
you got that right. And I got to get out of here or the commercials go right over the top of us.
You got 7 minutes. You know what? You got plenty of time there.
I got 1 minute.
Oh, bye.
Well, that's what my computer says, so that's what I go by. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. I think we lost him. But anyway, we're down to our final minute. And,
it's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. We might have to do this next year at this time or something
like
that. I
agree. There's always places to talk about down there.
We can talk about places around everywhere.
Well, sure.
Around Ohio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've been all over the state.
Yeah, I have not.
Many times.
I'm learning a lot. Well, now... I will have you back next year.
Third Thursday in January,
next
right?
year. Yep. Yeah. It's hard to imagine that we're coming to the end of the year. 2001, and we're saying goodbye to it. All right. Well, Fred Malone and
James.
our ex James Anderson, thank you guys so much for helping us out.
Pleasure.
This is
always
great
enjoy
fun.
This, and I feel like we're keeping up a tradition that Charlie started years ago.
Yes, let's keep doing that.
Right.
Well, anybody at home, I hope you will tune back in.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for holiday fun. For Charlie Evers, reading, 'Twas the Night